Hello, and welcome to the Entertainment Docket for the week of January 30th, 2012. I am your co-host, Michael Staley, and alongside me is the lovely, talented, and saggy Melissa Hansen.
Hey, when have you seen me without my bra lately?
Saggy meaning that the SAG Awards are on right now as we are recording this, and we are not watching it.
No, we are not, so I'm not very saggy.
No.
I'm not. Well, I'm already, like, awarded out.
Yes.
And we haven't even made it to the big one.
Yeah, exactly. We've still got another month to go.
Yeah.
So, busy week entertainment-wise, huh?
Yeah. Finally caught Young Adults.
Yes.
Which has been on my list to see, and my friends Nina and Will had recommend it, that I see it. So I bumped it up to the top of the list and just recently watched it. It's Charlize Theron's latest.
Yeah, but it's Jason Reitman and Diablo Cody doing their follow-up to Juno.
Yeah, so it's, is it Juno grown up?
Yeah, it's interesting because we had watched, we did a double feature of Young Adult and The Graduate. And The Graduate is kind of being messed up in your 20s, and Young Adult is kind of being messed up in your 40s.
Yeah. Yeah, we're just screwed for our whole life,
yeah,
aren't we?
Yeah, we are.
Do we ever get it together?
I don't know. I hope so. We'll see what's coming. But it was an interesting juxtaposition because it is kind of a, you know, I think it was kind of marketed as somewhat of a comedy, but there's really a kind of a sad character drama.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, there's definitely funny stuff, but it's more of a character study. Kind of sad, but relatable.
Brilliant performances.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Yeah. She, like I said, Charlize was amazing as always, but who blew my mind was Patton Oswalt.
Right.
Who we all know from Ratatouille.
Mm-hmm.
And before that, like I know from King of Queens.
Right.
Which, on a side note, I really miss that show. They left so many unanswered questions when it went off the air, but otherwise... you know, he really, seeing him in this, playing a very different type of character was, you know, quite amazing.
Yeah, and very different. I mean, these characters were kind of damaged in their own ways. Everybody had a baggage that they were carrying around with them.
And kind of showed physical damage versus emotional damage, too.
Yeah, we don't want to spoil anything. But
yeah, is the one with physical damage healthier than the one with emotional damage?
It's a very interesting point.
Really interesting. It's Charlize Theron plays this young-ish woman.
Well, she's in her late 30s, early 40s, I would guess.
And she's kind of made it big, which not in the grand scheme of things, but for coming from a small town. And she kind of goes back to her small town for a short visit.
Proving once again that you cannot go home again.
No. But she kind of goes, really wanting to see her ex-boyfriend, who is played by Patrick Wilson.
Yeah.
Who is an actor. I don't think he's a great actor, but I thoroughly enjoy watching him on screen.
Yeah, he manages to fit pretty much every role that he does. He's almost a perfect fit for it.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was... it's an interesting thing to kind of delve into, and it's not comfortable. There are moments that may resonate with you, as they did with me, where it's like, oh, this is hitting a little too close to home. But
holding a mirror up sometimes, that's why I said some of it's relatable.
Yeah.
Or in people we know. Like, we know these characters. Yeah. You know them. And if you think you don't know her, you are her.
Yeah. And success here is a perception that is shown to be very inconsistent. People have a perception of who you are as a success, and then mirrored with what you really are in that world. It's quite disturbing at times.
Right.
So... No, definitely worth checking out.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And it's, you know, like we said, it's more of a character study, more of a talky picture.
And for those of you who liked Jason Reitman's Up in the Air, this is more along that line in terms of that kind of zeroing in character drama where it's very intimate and almost claustrophobic at times, where some of these characters just feel so trapped that they can't get out.
Right, and you're trapped in with them.
Yeah.
But yeah, and if like Juno drove you crazy with like the dialogue.
Yeah.
And all the, you know, made-up terms and stuff. This is not that.
No. In fact, she's a writer who...
should check this out.
Who makes fun of those... Her characters are kind of those Juno-esque with all the little quips and the young adult books that she's writing.
Right.
They all have that kind of...
mention that. Yeah, she's a writer who writes young adult stuff. So, yeah, her... The character Charlize's character is writing about... are kind of more Juno stuff. But if Juno drove you a little crazy, you should still give this one a try.
Yeah.
yeah, it's enough different.
Yeah. And on a lighter note, we went to see a movie that's not out yet.
We did. This is one of the fun things that I get to do when I happen to be out in L.A. is go to some screenings and, you know, get to see some stuff before you all get to. Ha ha. But yes, a very interesting movie called Butter.
Which is exactly what it sounds like.
Yes, it is. It's about butter. It's actually about butter carving.
Right. A quirky little drama set in Iowa City, which is where I went to school at the University mm-hmm. of Iowa, but filmed in Shreveport, Louisiana. So mm-hmm. none of the locations that I remember were. I'm like, I kept waiting to see things that, but they didn't show up. But yeah, it's weird. It's Jennifer Garner,
right? And she produced it too.
Yeah.
So she must have a bit of affection for the story. It's her and Ty Burrell from Modern Family,
who plays Phil.
Mm-hmm. They play a couple, and he's a master. Butter sculptor.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, they're kind of king and queen of the small town because he's so talented.
But there's controversy because mm-hmm. the people who run the butter competition want him to step down so that other people can have a chance at being successful because he's done it for like 15 years.
Right. But now she's not going to be famous anymore.
Yeah. Her whole life has revolved around being like Camp Butter. They have this camp for special needs children called Camp Butter.
Oh.
It gets to be, again, that darker side of success.
Mm-hmm.
Because how far do you go to stay on top?
Right. And she decides she's going to take over and do it then. But there's other people, including a young girl who has this natural talent.
Who
does these incredible sculptures. And they really are. I don't know what it sounds like, but looking at them, and they had actual like butter carvers in doing this, and they tried to keep it really realistic to what it's like. And they were phenomenal.
Oh, yeah.
They were, you know, you couldn't make something better out of marble.
Yeah, some of this stuff was really... And the young girl's played by, and I don't know how to pronounce her name, Yara Shahidi. She was the daughter in Eddie Murphy's movie, Imagine That. Spunky, full of life, and boy, does she nail this performance here. She shines in every single minute of the film.
Okay, it's got a pretty good cast. Jennifer Garner, we talked about. Ashley Green, all you Twilighties will know.
Yeah.
But Hugh Jackman's got a small role.
Yeah.
Olivia Wilde. You know, Ty Burrell, who's on one of the top comedies. Okay, you know who killed it in this? Her. And Rob Corddry.
From The Daily Show.
Yes.
And Hot Tub Time Machine.
Yeah, which I didn't...
I didn't like him in that movie, but I love him here.
He's so great. And he plays her foster father.
Right.
In this. And Alicia Silverstone plays her foster mother. But the scenes the two of them have together are beautiful.
Some of the best scenes in the
Absolutely
movie.
Beautiful
yeah.
scenes. They are so good in this. It's well worth watching just for those scenes. You know, of the two of them together.
And it's an interesting film because it's a dual narration. It's dual mm-hmm. voiceover. So Jennifer Garner's character carries half the film in narration, mm-hmm. and this young girl carries the other half.
Yeah, it's interesting. You haven't seen anything quite like it, which makes it worth watching. It's one of those movies when it's doing things well, it's exceptional.
Yeah.
But then it just kind of falters. Olivia Wilde character, and I don't think it's her. I think she did a good job with it.
Yeah.
It just didn't... She plays this stripper who kind of tries
wacky,
to mess
though.
Thing up. It's too wacky for the rest of it, and it doesn't quite fit. Everything doesn't mesh in this. You have all these great pieces, but they don't come together totally well.
The way the movie starts, you're expecting kind of a Waiting for Guffman type movie because the characters mm-hmm. are so over the top and the context is so crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But then it kind of settles down into this grounded reality about foster families and adoption. And
yeah, it didn't quite know what it wanted to be.
Yeah. So you kind of get this unfulfilled feeling at the end, although there are moments that are going to stay with you for a long time.
I like the ending. I was more fulfilled then than earlier. They're just moments that it's just dead on and then something and it's not quite hitting. And it's disappointing because parts of it are so excellent. You just wanted the whole thing to be great.
Yeah.
And it wasn't great. It was all good, but not great.
Yeah. And I don't see this being a big release,
this
theatrical release. You may have to find this on Netflix or DVD or something.
Yeah. But and again, if you like a little quirkiness, you know, I think it's worth checking out.
Yeah, these types of movies, I mean, we've been very lucky in terms of the movies that we've seen that are, you don't walk away going, man, I just wasted 2 hours of my time, you know?
Yeah, so we'll try to remind you, I'm sure we will.
Yeah, as it streets.
When it, you know, is released.
Yeah.
But keep your eye out for that.
Speaking of which, let's look at the box office from this past weekend and see what's been going on, because we had a bunch of things that were opening.
Yeah, we had a few opening and a few that had just opened the week before. And number one this week is The Grey.
The Liam Neeson.
Right, the big bad
survival
wolves.
Drama. Yeah, in Alaska or whatever. $20 million, not a huge number.
No.
But then it wasn't a huge field either.
No, but pretty much ahead, because then Underworld Awakening... You know, came in second. It stayed up there, but it only had 12.5 million.
And that was its second week.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had.
And then what is wrong with you guys? Seriously, One for the Money.
The
came
Catherine
in third.
Heigl. Catherine Heigl is a bounty hunter.
I don't know who you are. Come on, people.
She's romantic comedies.
But then we had Red Tails.
George Lucas's Red Tails, right?
Which came in fourth. And then Man on a Ledge, which was another
new one.
Not huge, but new one.
Yeah.
That made fifth.
Yeah.
You know, for the weekend.
But what surprised me on this list is The Descendants making a comeback.
It is, because there's so much talk about it with award season.
Yeah.
And I think that's great.
So it pulled in almost $6.5 million, which is surprising for a movie that came out, what, in November? December? Yeah. I mean, it was out before the holidays. So, yeah, it's gathering a lot of buzz.
Yeah.
And Beauty and the Beast is still up there. That thing's made over $40 million.
Yeah, and like 10 years later.
Just in 3D. So Disney's going to keep cranking out the 3D adaptations, folks.
You can expect
to see
more of them. Yeah, great. Thanks a lot. More Katherine Heigl and more 3D crap.
You know what I don't see on this top 10 list is Dragon Tattoo.
Nope, it has gone off, and I don't know if it made the 100 million.
Make it that much more difficult to reach the 100 million.
I keep saying I'm not going to talk about it, and you keep bringing it up.
I'm sorry.
It's his fault, not mine.
All right. Coming this next week, not much.
Not much at all. The one I'm looking forward to is The Woman in Black.
Daniel Radcliffe.
Which is Daniel Radcliffe not playing Harry. And this was actually originally a play. And I saw it a few years ago, West End in London.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of a thriller, drama, not like... Well, we'll see what the film is.
It's not a horror
movie. The play's not horror. It's definitely thriller, edge of the seat, jump scare kind of stuff. Now, we'll see what they do with the movie, if they have some icky stuff in it. It's PG-13, so it's not going to be slasher horror.
Okay.
Definitely more thriller aspect. It's about this young lawyer who goes to this small village in England, and there's supposedly the Woman in Black. Is terrorizing the town.
Local legend.
And she was a woman that had been killed there, and her child, and like this whole big story slowly comes out about what happened there. And he has to determine, you know, is she really a ghost, or is someone fooling him, or what's going on with that? So I'm very, very interested to see how they turned it into a film, because it was an excellent stage production.
Then it must be the week for horror, because there's another movie coming out called Chronicle, which is written by John Landis's son, Max. And this is interesting. I saw the trailer for this. It's kind of sci-fi thriller. I wouldn't say horror, but it's kind of tagged as horror. It's about three friends who kind of develop superpowers, and they kind of get this god complex. So you see them kind of destroy all this stuff.
Yeah.
The trailer that I saw looks phenomenal, because it's kind of, I don't want to say it's found footage, but it kind of has that feel, that kind of video camera.
It's going to make me nauseous.
Yeah, but it's what they do. So you see a kid there that kind of crushes a car just by kind of, you know, bringing his hand together. So
ooh, like Darth Vader choke grip thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Some really interesting, like throwing a bus off the side of a cliff or something with people on it. I mean, it gets a little disturbing. So it's not a big budget, and it looks like they're kind of going for story mixed with really specific visual effects.
Okay.
So I'm curious to see how this works out.
All right.
And then, what is it, Madonna's movie?
Madonna's movie, W.E.
Yeah.
That's coming out, and it's kind of two love stories. It's the whole King Edward VIII and Wallace Simpson, who was an American divorcee. If you saw the King's Speech, this was kind of covered in that.
Oh.
That he gave up the throne to be with her.
Oh, gotcha.
So that's one story, and then there's a contemporary romance story.
Okay.
I mean, I haven't really seen much about it. It's only getting pretty much nominated for, like, costumes and stuff, and then Madonna just won a Golden Globe for her song from it.
Yeah, and Elton John's husband, David Furnish, kind of bitch-slapped her for it. And they got into this whole controversy. Yeah.
If you guys watch that, let us know, because I'm probably not going to see it.
Yeah. All right. Well, if you're not going to the movies this weekend, we can switch over to see what was available to you on DVD and Blu-ray.
Okay. And just jumps out at me. two-headed shark attack.
Yet another. I don't think that's a Roger Corman one. I think that's from the Ark or the Asylum folks who kind of do the knockoff things. A movie that looked like it could have been great but didn't do too well at the box office, The Big Year, with Jack Black and Steve Martin and Owen Wilson, about competitive bird watching.
Yeah. And one of my favorite movies ever, based on my second favorite book ever, To Kill a Mockingbird, is coming out on Blu-ray.
Yeah, it's an anniversary edition, I think.
Gregory Peck.
Yeah.
So it's 50th anniversary, which is unbelievable. But
yeah. We talked about this a couple of weeks ago, but Ryan Gosling in Drive is hitting DVD and Blu-ray, which is a movie you need to see.
Yeah, absolutely.
More recent stuff, Justin Timberlake in In Time, which Harlan Ellison was saying that they kind of ripped off one of his stories.
Oops.
Yep, to make that.
Yeah.
Malcolm X gets a DVD digibook release.
Okay. Oh, Monkey Bone.
Oh,
they actually took the time to put Monkey Bone on Blu-ray. Brendan Fraser and Chris Kattan.
We saw that with Pat Noggle.
We did see that with Pat Noggle. You are correct. That's why I'm mentioning it.
Yeah.
So Monkey Bone's coming out.
Mac on the Filibuster talked about his review of Star Trek The Next Generation, The Next Level, which is basically kind of a sample disc for, hey, we're putting out all of The Next Generation on Blu-ray. Here's what you can expect.
Yeah, so give us money to see what you can...
Right, to see what you'll buy later.
Okay. And then there's a couple Poirot.
Oh,
like the Christie ones with David Suchet.
Yeah.
Series 1 and 2 are coming out on Blu-ray.
Okay.
So it's not new stuff, but it's new on Blu-ray.
And if you're a Michael Bay devotee and love the Transformers franchise, they're doing the 3D release on Blu-ray of Transformers Dark of the Moon, and they're doing an entire box set of all three Transformer movies. So, yay.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's take a look at streaming. Over on Netflix this week, a little bit more than there was last week, The Double with Richard Gere, which is also coming out on DVD and Blu-ray this week. It's Richard Gere, Topher Grace, and Martin Sheen, which, again, should be a great movie. It's a setup of a great premise.
Yeah, how is this not like a blockbuster?
It's an FBI serial killer story with a twist, with a couple twists, actually.
Yeah, this sounds like perfect.
And they screw it up.
Ugh.
I was into it about halfway, and then they just screwed the pooch. And I'm not going to say what they did. You'll see it for yourself. You may see it coming quicker than I did. And the serial killer thing, they took his kill, his secret weapon into how he kills people. They took it from a James Bond movie. It was from Thunderball. Yeah, whatever. The Big Kahuna, which was based on Roger Ruff's play that we saw, Hospitality Suite.
We saw it at the Glen.
We did. So, Kevin Spacey, Danny DeVito, and Peter Facinelli about these salesmen at a conference.
It's great. It's Kevin Spacey just like doing what he does best.
Sounds funny.
Yeah.
And speaking of Kevin Spacey, also this week on Netflix, Beyond the Sea, which is the Bobby Darin biopic, which I never saw.
No, but Kevin actually sings in that.
Yeah. And Gus Van Zandt's shot-by-shot remake of Alfred Hitchcock's Psycho.
Psycho. With Vince Vaughn.
Vince Vaughn.
And Anne Heche.
That's right. I don't know. I still don't know how I feel about that movie. I mean, it was something interesting to look at.
I didn't bother watching it.
I went to the theater to see it.
I went and rewatched Hitchcock's.
Yeah. Which is what you should probably do. Over on Hulu, a couple of interesting things. Kiefer Sutherland's Touch, which we talked about last week.
Mm-hmm. It's getting good reviews and good ratings.
All right. Well, if you got Hulu Plus, you can catch up on it. Three of Charlie Chaplin's classic movies are now available on Hulu. The Great Dictator, Modern Times, and City Lights. And Steve McQueen in The Blob, which is I've never seen. It's like mid-50s, early 50s, but it was kind of the horror movies before they started becoming...
Slasher movies.
Yeah, exactly. The last of the greats. Over on Amazon Instant, of course, you can get all the new DVD and Blu-ray releases streaming. A few interesting older pictures that are showing up on Amazon Instant now, As Good As It Gets, with Jack Nicholson, and Helen Hunt, and Greg Kinnear, right?
Yes.
Bill Bixby.
And the dog.
Oh, and the dog.
Cute,
yeah. If you like the dog and the artist, you'll like the dog and As Good As It Gets. Bill Bixby's Trial of the Incredible Hulk, which was one of the movies after the series ended.
Ooh.
I think it may have been the last movie.
No, there were movies.
Yeah, I think they did three of them.
I was more into Courtship at Ice Father than the Hulk.
Yeah.
So.
They introduced Thor in one of the movies. I don't think this was the one, though. And Dustin Hoffman in Tootsie. And like I said, we just watched The Graduate. And to see him kind of play younger and then to go and see him at one of his classic films is just Awesome. All right, I'm shutting up. What do you got?
TV.
Yes.
To get you ready for next weekend, Wednesday night, CBS has Super Bowl's greatest commercials. Because we all know that's the best part of the Super Bowl, anyhow.
Can you say Super Bowl? We're going to get
I can because it's the title of the show CBS.
Okay.
I'm not talking about the Super Bowl. I'm talking about Super Bowl's greatest commercials.
Okay, got it.
NBC on Whitney, John Cleese is guest starring.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, yeah. So that could be interesting. So even if you're not into that show, you might want to check out that one episode this week.
Didn't we get a news story about Cleese and the Python guys? They're doing a movie?
They are. They're working on a new movie. It's not technically a Python movie, but it's got most of them in it.
And Terry Jones is directing.
So, and it just like got announced. So we'll bring you more of that when it's
sweet.
It's actually in progress.
Sweet.
Let's see. Friday, another new mid-season on NBC, Who Do You Think You Are?
Oh, yeah.
Which is something I've actually
enjoyed. You reviewed it for TV Verdict.
I did. The first season. They take celebrities and they work with Ancestry.com and they go and find their ancestry. I usually find kind of one story to follow.
Okay.
And this week it's Martin Sheen, and then there'll be a whole bunch of other celebrities coming up. Fairly family friendly show and can get you, you know, talking about your own family.
Uh-huh.
And another new show, or another old show, but coming back. Sunday, after the big game, see, I'm not going to get us sued,
oh, God.
The Voice returns.
Oh, yeah. CeeLo and his little Tyrannosaurus Rex arms.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, then. But another actual new show that's starting Saturday night on Nick. It's How to Rock. It's a new tween show. And you can actually preview it on iTunes. It's available for free if you want to check it out before then. Quick disclaimer, my friend Nina, who I mentioned earlier, is actually a writer on the show. And I did check it out, and I probably wouldn't have if she wasn't involved. But I did check it out. I liked it, and I'm not just saying that. It stars Symphonic Miller as a young woman who's the head of the Perfs, the perfect girls in her school.
The Perfs.
And they have a little band. They sing together. But all of a sudden, she gets braces and glasses. And she is out of there. And so she finds a group of not-so-popular kids that have a band. And she ends up singing with them. And learning wonderful life lessons about how it's what's on the inside that really counts and and things like that. So it's a musical tween show.
Classic Nick formula.
Classic Nick formula, kind of like, you know, Big Time Rush. You've got, you know, humor and then a couple songs and that. And Symphonic Miller, who stars in it, as I said, she's actually Master P's daughter and Little Romeo's sister.
Okay.
And she does great. She's a beautiful voice. She's a beautiful girl. You know, good comedic timing. All of them do. And I guess all of the kids play their own instruments and sing and,
nice. You
know, a really talented group. So you might want to check that out with your kids on Saturday night.
Okay.
Okay. And other areas of entertainment, music. Leonard Cohen has a new album of new music called Old Ideas.
Huh.
I will definitely be taking a listen to some of that.
All right.
There is a new Broadway cast recording of Godspell.
Huh.
That's coming out. So all of you into musicals might want to check that one out. And then Ringo 2012. It's Ringo Starr's 17th solo studio record.
Damn.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's out. So any Beatles fans or just Ringo fans?
Yeah, and he always puts together like an all-star.
And it is. There's tons of
people.
Musicians that are on this with him. So yeah, that should be some good stuff. Book-wise, this was when I first was looking through what was coming out this week, and I'm like, that can't be right.
What?
Jim Henson's Tale of Sand. This is a new graphic novel. But it's adapted from an unproduced screenplay he wrote before he passed away.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's the Jim Henson, like Muppet's Jim Henson. So it's his story.
Okay.
That's, you know, finally being produced, and they just did it as a graphic novel.
In the hopes of selling the film rights, perhaps?
I don't know.
Or producing them themselves.
I don't know. We'll have to see what ends up. But, yeah.
Wow.
So very interesting. And then special place in my heart, and I can't believe it, but A Wrinkle in Time, Madeline Lingle It's the 50th anniversary edition.
I don't think I ever read that book.
I love the series. I love it. It's a little bit of coming of age, and then but it's kind of scientific. And oh,
yeah.
Yeah. One of my favorite series when I was younger. I pull them out every now and then and read through them.
Huh.
And then let's switch a little bit here. Garfield Brings Home the Bacon. Ready? His 53rd book.
Shut up.
By Jim Davis.
I didn't even know Jim was still alive, to be honest. It's a terrible thing to say.
The 53rd Garfield book.
Because you think of all of those characters and how many of those people have passed away. You know, all of those great cartoon strip guys who are no longer with us.
Mm-hmm.
And Garfield's been around forever.
Yeah.
So
long enough for 53 books.
And I think we're still getting DVDs because they have a new Garfield animated cartoon show.
Yeah, Garfield will be around forever.
Wow.
So if you like the lasagna-loving cat,
yeah, I guess.
There you go.
Okay.
And then, okay, hoity-toity segment.
Okay.
Wit, the play just opened on Broadway starring Cynthia Nixon.
What's that?
And it's a story about a professor who gets cancer.
So, oh.
Bit of a downer. But if you want to see what Miranda looks like without hair, because Cynthia Nixon shaved her head for the role.
Oh, okay.
You know,
is it frightening?
No, I think she looks pretty good.
Oh, all right.
But if you want to check that out, you can find pictures online, too. You don't have to go all the way to Broadway.
There you go.
And then for all you Idol fans, there's actually Broadway Idol news. Constantine, who was a contestant on Idol.
No clue.
Well, a lot of our listeners, I'm sure, have a clue. It's news. It hasn't started yet. He's going to be starring in Jekyll and Hyde. You know, Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde.
We saw that musical. It's not a good show. I'm sorry.
Trying to entice people to go to Broadway.
I know, but that was painful.
Yeah, it's... Well, the version we saw was not very good, but it was locally more theater. It wasn't...
I'm a killer. I'm in love with a hooker. I'm a good kid.
There's this beautiful, beautiful song in it, and then you realize that the song's actually about a serial killer and a whore. But
so
other
crazy.
Than that, can I finish the story?
Yes, go ahead. Sorry.
It's going to be in Broadway next year, and then it's launching this fall, actually in San Diego, before it gets there. But all you Constantine fans, something to look forward to.
Okay. He's got the hair for it, right? Isn't this the guy with the crazy hair?
Guy.
Okay, I just remembered.
See, you know who he is.
I just remembered.
Don't act like you don't know.
Well, I don't watch Idol, and actually half the world isn't watching Idol like they did last year, so.
Yeah, Big Bang's beating it.
Yeah, no doubt.
So, anyhow.
All right, ready?
Any news?
Lots of news, actually. Ooh. Some interesting stuff. Joe Carnahan, we talked about The Gray with Liam Neeson.
Yes.
Which Joe Carnahan just directed.
Okay.
He's going to remake Charles Bronson's Death Wish.
What? Just fucking watch the original, people.
And he's going to do a sequel to The A-Team.
Oh, my gosh.
I know. So okay. Bradley Cooper, job security.
All right.
Charlie Kaufman news. All right. So he did Schenectady, New York, which everybody loved, and I still have to see it because everybody talks about how great that movie is. And Charlie Kaufman is nuts, right? You know, he wrote Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind.
Yeah.
And it's directed by Michel Gondry, so you can't get much more out there than that. But he's doing this new movie and directing it, writing it, called Frank or Francis, which stars Steve Carell as a Hollywood director who goes nuts because of a fan who's obsessed with trashing him on the internet.
Oh, I can see Steve playing that well.
Yeah. But listen to this cast.
Okay.
So the fan is Jack Black.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
So it's also Kate Winslet, Catherine Keener, Nicolas Cage, Kevin Kline, Elizabeth Banks, and Paul Rubens.
Oh, nice.
It's just like an insane amount of people.
Nice.
So, I'm curious to see how this is going to play out because this looks like it could be a good one.
Oh, yeah.
And then one more that I have. Justin Bieber is apparently obsessed with Mark Wahlberg's movie Fear.
That Reese Witherspoon psycho stalker.
I forgot she was in that.
Yeah.
He wants to remake that, starring himself, and my guess is that Selena Gomez would play the female. But I guess he's just, like, he's obsessed
like
with
his
this.
Thing.
Yeah,
well,
it's
he's
thing.
Got the power and money to kind of do
I
what
guess.
He wants. So.
Yeah. Usher gets
sure
to produce
we'll
his first movie. All right, I'm done. What else I'll you got for that. News?
Well, we
got
to talk the big Hollywood, more gossipy stuff,
too.
Two really big stories. Well, let's start with Heidi and Seal.
Let's start with
Heidi Klum. So, like, every man in, well, the world, I guess, just went, woohoo! Yeah, she's free and available. And I'm
they
sure
have kids
you all
together, though, right?
Totally have a chance with her. Yeah, they have, like, one is he, I think, adopted her oldest.
And weren't they the two that renewed their wedding vows every year? And
they do.
Like costume things.
It was actually a surprising one because they do. They do big, fun renewing of their vows and whatever. But I guess it all just fell apart.
It's too bad.
So we'll see. Yeah, that was kind of a shocking one. Kind of
happens when you've got two very powerhouse career people who can't seem to make it. But then there's other people who've been together forever. Kurt Russell and Goldie Hawn have been together a long time. And
oh, yeah. Yeah, there are a lot. Every time we say, oh, it's Hollywood, they can't stay together.
Right.
We were just talking, Mark Harmon and Pam Dauber have been together forever and a day.
Rick Ocasek and Paulina Porizkova.
Yeah. Damn, there's
so there's
hope.
A music guy and a supermodel. That worked.
All right. You guys just need to take after Rick and Paulina.
Okay.
And the other really huge news is Demi Moore was doing whippets because obviously she's like 20 years old and in college and doesn't have money to buy good drugs. Yeah, it's like nitrous oxide and it's the whipped cream can thing. And actually, if you go to Gawker, they have a whole how-to on it.
Oh, that's nice.
And then they put a disclaimer at the end.
Please don't do this at home.
Right, kind of thing.
But then I also heard that she, for the past year, she's... her diet is consistent mainly of Red Bull. Like, what 40-year-old... Well, is she 40 or is she 50 now?
I don't know exactly.
But what woman in her 40s is you know, drinking Red Bull every day?
Yeah, so anyhow, it's kind of sad news, but slightly unbelievable, too. Yeah. All right, one last quick Kardashian thing. Ugh. It's not even huge news. It's,
okay, good.
So it's Kim and Kourtney take New York... Or, you know, whatever order those words are in. Kourtney and Kim, and they're taken someplace. I don't know. It was just season finale of that. And it was the whole big thing with Kim's breakup with Chris Humphries and what happened. And
you know, that was on TV today.
Yeah,
there's
that
little clip of it.
Yeah.
That guy was a total douchebag.
You know what? You have to. I can't believe how bad Chris Humphries has to be to make Scott look like Prince frickin' Charming.
I mean, unbelievable. Just I can't stand these people to begin with, but when you see somebody from the outside making them look halfway decent, it's just, wow.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So anyhow, that's not huge news. It happened before, but we all just got to finally see it.
All right. Is that it?
I said Kardashians. What
okay,
more is there
so we
to talk
close
about?
The world with the Kardashians. All right, well, thank you guys for tuning in. We'll be back next week with more excitement and adventure. In the meantime, you can send us feedback at msdaily@dvdverdict.com or...
M-H-A-N-S-E-N at dvdverdict.com.
Or call the voicemail hotline at 310-878-4968. Until then, we've got a salute going out tonight.
See you on the radio.